at the ball on his feet, can't get the ball to the left foot, he had the shot, and as a means to hit towards goal, cleared off the line, but sliding in there, Rory Patterson, who makes it 2-1 to Derry City. Rory Patterson is giving Derry City.
Boy, tries to get across. Boy, what a goal from him! Not makes Dean Delaney. Comes off the inside of the post and makes it 2-0 to Derry.
Patterson. Oh, I just couldn't bring it. That's outside. That was outside the box. The linesman was at least 3 or 4 yards away from where the ball was.
Right, good evening. I'm Felix Seely. You're very welcome to Drive 105's Match Night Live preview show. Later, we'll be hearing from the City boss, Kenny Shields, and we'll also have a look at what's happening elsewhere in the League of Ireland this weekend with James O'Toole. But first, let me introduce my guests. Two most expensive players ever to play at the Brandywell. Mr. Sean Hargan, Mr. Paddy McLaughlin. Good afternoon, or good evening, guys.
Hello, Felix.
Get a bit closer to that microphone. I tell you, you two boys were fitter now when you were playing, I have to say.
Well, Sean is anyway, so Sean didn't bother training whenever he was playing, so he has to get fitter now.
As I was saying to you guys there's a few boys training harder now than they did 20, 30 years ago when they were playing.
No, that's right. There's a lot of people taking up triathlons and everything else, you know, after they finish playing. If they had done that when they were playing, they would probably won a couple more leagues.
Listen, it's been a fantastic week. You know, Paddy, we sat here last week and chatted about, you know, looking forward to the season. It couldn't have gone any better.
Definitely not, Felix. We spoke last week about Derry's probably got a lot of fixtures when they come out. They get the Bulls game to get them up and running because, you know, they've done really well over the last couple of seasons. And it worked well for them on Friday night when they got up there and won comfortably in the end up. So, you know, they'll be delighted with their start and they'll be delighted by getting a load of goals. And young Nathan Boyd coming in and getting a couple of goals too, I'm sure he's delighted with it as well.
I suppose the only sour note, Sean, was the injuries to young Ben Doherty and Rory Patterson.
Yeah, it's been unfortunate. You know, the two lads will probably be disgusted because they've obviously just got over a hard pre-season. And for the first game for you to get injured and maybe be out for anything up to 3 to 6 weeks is very disappointing, you know. But it was, as Paddy says, it was nice to see all our people stepping up the plate and scoring a few goals, and it'll breed confidence in the team, you know, winning their first game and scoring a good few goals. And, you know, confidence is a great thing within
the
squad.
But that was the good thing, the fact that, you know, when you score four goals, and you obviously expect that Patterson's always going to chip in with a goal. That's obviously where he comes into play. But they score four away from home, and he hasn't scored. It says volumes.
Yeah, you know, and as Paddy says earlier, Nathan Boyle stepped up the mark. He's been there a few seasons now. I know he was out on loan at Van Herps and that. And, you know, maybe it's his time now to shine. I know Michael Kennedy's got a wee bit of a hamstring problem. I'm not sure where he's at with that, but it's Nathan's opportunity and he has to grasp it.
Yeah. Listen, we chat more in a minute, but let's hear what the boss has to say.
I hope it's going to be a good game for the supporters, and both teams have got good flair within their team. It's the youngest team in the league against the oldest team in the league, and it's not fair to say the oldest team, let's just say the most experienced, and that is a significant part of their game. They know how to close out games, they know how to, you know, come off the game and things that experienced players have got that maturity, and we are growing all the time and we're improving, and the knowledge of the team is getting better, and it's a great challenge for us to come up against such an experienced team.
Of course, Limerick last season run away with the First Division. They made a recent signing, young Brazilian Rodriguez. How are you going to try and freeze this man out after his debut in the league last week with a hat-trick?
Well, if we're totally honest, they haven't invested for Europe. They've invested for the title. Because you're talking about the Brazilian Tosse. The left-back played in the English Premier League 9 months ago. He played last May in the Premier League, and how they got these players in is fantastic work for them. And that's investing for, and they've a French midfield player as well. They've got very, very good players. Lee J. Lynch, Shane Duggan's a very good player, and, you know, they've got so much experience in the team. Williams has played 250 games in England, the left centre back. So you look at that, the four or five players in their 30s, but that doesn't mean to say they're past it. They're certainly well primed and experienced, and they've got four or five players in their 20s as well. So if you put that all together, there's a lot of experience and knowledge within their team.
Yourself last week, you said that maybe your team didn't perform the way they should have performed, a wee bit off the mark, but have you worked on that this week in training?
Yes, we have. We've worked on things. We've worked on as much as we can, the detail of us, the detail of the opponent, how we're going to try and improve our game, looking at areas that we can potentially exploit. You know, you have to do that as a manager and a coach, where you're looking at issues that you may have and players that you feel will be the best fit for each particular game. That's why you have a squad in football. We've lost two key players in Ben Doherty and Rory Patterson, so we have to replace from within, and they're not easy players to replace, I can tell you.
Of course, Aaron Barry and Harry Monahan and young Michael Kennedy all out injured last week. Are they any closer to a return this week?
Aaron Barry got through Sunday's game well. He trained today. Aaron Barry's come through quite well, so we'll see how he is. Michael Kennedy now, he trained for the first time today from his hamstring injury, so I'm hopeful we can get him in around the team in some capacity. He gives us an extra forward that we have, and he hasn't really got a chance because of this injury, so we're working on that. Harry Monaghan's coming back too. Aaron Barry, as I spoke about. You know, these are people that are coming back for contention to get in the team and to be in around the team after losing Ben and Rory. It could be good timing. I'm not sure about Aaron Barry or not.
How long do you think Ben Doherty will be out for and Rory Patterson?
Well, my physio reckons maybe 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, so we'll see how that goes.
Nathan Boyd came into the team last week after that injury to Rory and stepped up with two cracking goals.
Yes.
Is this his chance now to shine, maybe to concrete his place for that first choice?
It's a possibility. I haven't decided where I'm going to select Nathan because it's a different opponent, a different game, but there's a good chance he'll be in contention now for a first-team place. He's a good boy. He works hard, and he did really well last week, and he's mentally ready for this one.
That's the City boss, Kenny Shields, talking to Paddy Kirk from our Match Night Live team. Paddy, we talked last week about Kenny having a bit of a moan. The 1-4-1, you wouldn't have thought it, would you?
Not big on me while the interview, no. He's good at talking things down now, and I think that's probably part of his way he manages things. He talks things down and tries to deflect a lot of praise away from his players in case they get carried away, and he might use that as a reverse psychology thing where people don't get too comfortable with their position or don't get too caught up in the praise they're getting. So if it works for him, so be it, you know. And he definitely doesn't get too excited whenever they're winning.
He sounds there as if he's not too sure how he's going to shuffle the pack tonight.
It's probably a bit of mind games with him, you know. As Paddy says, he wouldn't want the players getting too confident in themselves. They think that they're going to be on the team, and you know, a bit of mind games and reverse psychology works a treat at times.
It's a bit early for that, though.
Well,
we're only one game in.
I suppose with injuries he's had and stuff, he's probably wondering who he's going to bring in and what fits right for the Limerick game.
Yeah, I think he suggested that there was horses for courses and that kind of thing, as opposed to playing your best team, as opposed to whatever floats your boat. He's very much, you know, the start of the interview, he's just talked about the old guys against the youngest team, and then obviously changed to more experienced. Is that all part of the psychology as well, about the youngsters and that kind of thing?
I think it's definitely something he's thrown in there deliberately, using the word the older team, being Limerick. I know he definitely knows what he's talking about there, and I think he's trying to backtrack him, saying changing it to more experience. So as Hargy says, he's definitely at his mind games, and again, any advantage you can take, you know, you definitely play on it as a manager.
It's also he's very much pushing the young and local theme as well, Harky, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. You know, if you're playing against a team of players who have players that are over 30, you know, if you're the manager and you've got a four or five young guys who can run all day, you know, you'll be pushing them to say, listen, that boy's 32 or he's 34, you get at him, you know, and that one I run after you and all this kind of stuff. So it will be playing mind games.
I think it's fair to say that he seems to be suggesting as well that Limerick are going to be in the mix. given that's the kind of language you've been using anyway?
I think well, the investment that Limerick have put in over the last 18 months, I'm sure the people who put the money in will be expecting big things as well. You know, they've got the promotion and they've got themselves off to a great start as well. So there's no doubt that the owners will be seeing themselves as pushing at the top end of the table, and there's no doubt at all with the money they put in, that's what's going to be the demands are set on them this year.
Yeah, Brazilian scored 3 last week. Are they?
There's very few scored 3 in matches, you know.
Tossy.
But, yeah, it was...
The last time you scored a hat-trick, you had hair.
No, it's good to see new players coming into the league, you know, and, you know, as we know ourselves from Derry City back in the day when we had De Gama and De Silva and all, you know, it lifts the whole club when you get foreign players coming in. And it'll be good to see, you know, and I know they've a guy that played in the Premiership last year as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they go.
Yeah, they've only lost one game in the whole of, you know, it's basically lost one game in the last 18 months, something like that. They're not going to be short of confidence coming tonight, anyway.
Definitely not. You know, any team at any level, no matter what level it is, if they lose one game in 18 months, it's an incredible run. You know, and like I say, no matter what level you're playing at, so they're going to be coming up here and they're going to be used to success and they're going to be used to winning games, so they're definitely coming on full confidence.
We'll chat more later on. It's time now to find out what's going on elsewhere. Here's the usual roundup with James O'Toole.
Yes, thanks very much, Felix. But before we get into a preview of tonight's games, let's quickly recap on what we've learned after match day one. Part of the good this week would be at 34 years of age, Limerick striker Rodrigo Tosi has showed us he still knows where the goal is, a hat-trick on his debut in the Markets Field. Meanwhile, Bray's Dylan Connolly shown us last Friday night at St. Pat's that he's still the fastest player in the league. And different this one, the new service in Dundalk actually looks quite good, and there was very few arguments about it. For the bad, it turns out that Sligo, Bohemians and St. Pat's all forgot how to defend over the winter, and the pitch/bog that is Finn Park hasn't changed one bit. So on to tonight's games, and the biggest clash of the night is about to kick off at the Tallaght Stadium, as Shamrock Rovers welcome their bitter rivals Bohemians to the Southside venue. Both teams lost last week, which meant the Rovers' run of 12 seasons unbeaten on the opening day came to an end. Despite a very close game against Dundalk, a moment of madness by debutant Graham Burke cost Stephen Bradley's men, and they eventually ended up on the wrong side of a 2-1 defeat. For Keith Long's Bohemians, the only plus point to come out of last Friday was a Dinny Corcoran goal. 4 shocking goals at the other end saw them lose out to Derry City. And that leaves both teams with some changes to make tonight to get a result. And as with every Rovers Bows game, the crowd will play their part. Expect a better Bows performance in a very tight battle, and one that I expect the home team to come out on top by the odd goal. Well, last week I predicted St. Pat's would get the better of Bray Wanderers. How wrong was I? Harry Kenny's side started with the same form they showed last year, and their star man of 2016, Dylan Connolly, was a constant threat all night. And after his return from Australia, Anto Flood showed just why Bray signed him up, the former St. Pat's man getting his first goal on his debut to seal a 2-1 victory. Tonight, they face Ollie Horgan's Finn Harps. And speaking after last week's home defeat to Cork City, Horgan said, "We're under no illusions, we're in for a tough battle this year." And despite only going down to a single goal, Bunshaw Maguire, the Donegal outfit, didn't really create any openings to speak of. And the battle he has spoken of continues tonight by the seaside. The pitch of the Carlisle grounds tends to be in great shape for the opening game, which means that it might suit Paddy McCourt's style of play. But for all his skill and trickery, it's going to be a long night for the Harps defence as they try to keep that man Connolly and his teammates at arm's length. Unfortunately for Harps, I can only see this going one way, and that it might be a very, very big loss for the Ballybuffet men. Next up on match day 2, see St. Pat's travelling north to Drogheda to meet one of their old gaffers and his newly promoted Drogheda United. P-Man's side weathered a massive storm last weekend in Galway, which enabled them to snatch a 1-0 win and continue their run of winning their opening game of the season from each of the last 4. For Liam Buckley, it was much of the same. A team not defending properly and devoid of ideas. It was very telling of the feeling surrounding Richmond Park last Friday, as at the final whistle the Pats fans could be heard booing their team off the pitch. It took a loss to Derry towards the end of last season for such a thing to happen, so it can't be good for the Super Saints if it's taken just 90 minutes this year. Tonight's game will probably be like a training ground routine. Drogheda was set up to frustrate and deny St. Pat's any space, and be up to St. Pat's to break them down and stop any counter-attacks from the Drogs. It's not going to be pretty, but if St. Pat's can be patient, I think they'll just about sneak a win and keep the Inchicore faithful happy. For this week, anyway. The final game taking place tonight sees Cork City taking on Galway United. John Caulfield's side left a wet, windy and boggy Finn Park last week with all 3 points, after a dominant display. whereas Galway United had an equally dominant display against Drogheda, but still lost 1-0. Cork are everyone's favourites to push Dundalk all the way this season, and a good start in front of what should be a packed Turner's Cross will be exactly what they need. For Galway, they need to learn from last week's defeat. Like Shane Keegan's Wexford of last year, they're very good to look at, but they need to be able to start finishing chances if they have any chance of staying up. This bears all the markings of what should be a good game. Galway under Keegan will play attractive football, and so will Cork. So a real good game is forecast, with plenty of goals. But I think it'll be Cork who will make it 2 wins from 2. The last game of the weekend takes place tomorrow night at the Showgrounds as Sligo Rovers welcome Dundalk to town. Last Friday night we witnessed one of the worst defensive displays from any Sligo Rovers team ever. Simple marking and shape was abandoned for a more relaxed version, which led to a 5-1 hammering. And if it wasn't for a missed penalty, it could have even been worse. But, as they say, a lot can change in football in 7 days, and it evens itself out over the season. These are things that are probably not going to help cliche-ridden manager Dave Robson tomorrow night. And as for Dundalk, they showed us last week that they're up to the challenge to secure a 4th title in a row. They did nothing absolutely spectacular, but they showed a resolve that just shows the other teams that this squad knows how to win tight games. Inspired in midfield by Patrick McIlhenny, they did what they do best. They punished Rovers at times when it counted, and more goals from Robbie Benson and Kieran Culduff just goes to show that they can score from any position on the pitch. So unless a miracle has happened in Sligo this week and their defenders have learned to, you know, how to defend, I can see this just being a very, very bad night at the Showgrounds for Dave Robertson and his bitter red. So before I go, I was very close last week with the side bet, only Galway United and Harps let me down. So for tonight and tomorrow, I've gone for a bit of a double on Bray and Dundalk, both at -2. You can get that at 32-1, and even Eddie might go for that one. So before I head off and hand you back to Felix in the studio, just a quick reminder that updates from tonight's games will be live through Match Night Live tonight. I will be in the Carlisle grounds watching Bray versus Finn Harps, and without further ado, it's back to Felix in the studio. Thanks, Felix.
Thanks very much, James. Harps, he talked about Harps. He's going to be at the Bray match tonight. I saw Harps against Cork last week. Pitch wasn't the best, as we expect, and Cork looked decent enough. What was a heavy pitch? It's going to be enough. We talked last week, Paddy, it's going to be a tough year for Harps.
Just like we said last week, it is going to be tough. With the three teams getting relegated, you know, it's going to be tough to bottom end of the division for four or five teams. They're all going to be battling around from the first week, and I don't know, Harps got out and played well enough last year. You're saying that Harps played well for long spells and worked really hard, and they've got to do that every week. I think a Bray match tonight's a bigger game for them than the Cork game last week, because like, they're not going to be expected to pick up points against Cork, but if they're going to be battling relegation this year, it'll be like a Bray they're going to have to beat to stay up. So it's going to be a massive game for them tonight already.
I was saying Cork played quite well for long periods. I think you misheard that.
Well, Cork played well and Harps battle well.
A lot of people up here, you two guys might even appreciate this, but one of the biggest games of the year in Dublin is Shamrock Rovers against Bowes. Garda on horseback and everything else. There's all kinds of stuff, and that's a massive game, and I can only see one winner there.
Yeah, well, you know, Rovers look as if they're going to be the stronger team. You know, against Dundalk they played really well last week, and Bow struggled against Derry by all accounts, and they didn't play great. So you know, I would say Rovers will have the upper hand in the derby down there.
Yeah, and Derry are going there next week as well. So I suppose the manager of Rovers is Stephen Bradley. So Stephen Bradley's the gaffer there. He'd be looking for a bit of a confidence boost before then. Just before we head off and get final words from my two guests, just to tell you, Derry City Football Club Development Committee, they're seeking new and former members to join the monthly draw. And this is one of the main fundraisers for the club, and it runs throughout the year. The prize money each month is £850 for first prize, and the second prize is £300. And they're now positioned to offer a free copy of the 30 years of Derry City, 85 to 2015. And the club's Europa League run in 2008. Do you remember that? All them years ago.
Vaguely,
yes you do, yeah. And that's on DVD, and you get a free copy of the book and a free DVD, and that's for 12 months subscription or more. Thanks to George for sorting out. If you're interested, contact the Derry City office. The number is 71273263. They're up at Rathmore, up in Blees Lane. Quickly, before we, a quick word about McGinn Park, which I believe is sold out tonight. Have you had a chance to see what's going on at the Brandywell? They're flying through it.
Yeah, it's a big construction site at the moment. It's going to be great whenever it's all finished. It's well overdue, and it's good to see the diggers on and the work getting started.
I hear people talking about, you know, the all weather surfaces. If you had seen Finn Park last week, you wouldn't be complaining about it. An all weather surface.
I'm sure Paddy McCourt appreciated it.
Sort of predictions for tonight, Paddy?
I think it'll be a tight game. I think it'll be a good, entertaining game. But I fancy Derry to beat them. I'll go 2-1 Derry.
Mr. Horgan?
Yeah, I think the confidence will be flying through the team at the minute, and Kenny will have them well up for the game. And I think the big support and that being sold out down at Buncrana, you know, there'll be a good atmosphere, and it'll breed confidence in the boys, and I think they'll do it tonight.
Thanks very much, guys. Hope you've enjoyed the programme. We'll be doing it again next week. God knows who'd be sitting across from me next week. I think young Bairn Doherty's father is going to be here chatting to me. Eamon, look forward to that. In the meantime, after we hear from our donors, we'll be joining our match commentary team of Eddie Sadak and Dee Curran. Bye for now.
It would not be possible to provide this service without the support of the following donor: the Hastings Everglades Hotel, Brehen Road, Derry. Telephone number 71321066 or online at hastingshotels.com/Everglades Hotel.